Hi there! Welcome to a new episode of Worlds Collide with me, Victoria, your host. And thank you for tuning in. This is the podcast where I talk to people who moved abroad. And in today's episode, my guest is Sarah. And she moved to London from Germany. So despite her interesting story, how she ended up in London and how she likes it and what she misses, etc., she is an expert in making friends abroad. So she is a friendship coach for expats. So guys, listeners, if you struggle making friends abroad, so this is the right episode for you. She gives a little bit of insight about the whole process of making friends. So pay attention. But of course, should we talk about all the other stuff as well, like Brexit and what changes and whatnot and finding a job in London and all of this. So here it is. Please meet Sarah. All right. So my guest today is Sarah. Welcome to my podcast. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good too. Thank you. So first question, where are you calling from?
So I am based in London. I moved here in 2019. Yeah.
Okay. And where did you move from?
So I am originally from Hamburg in Germany.
Hamburg. Nice city. I love it.
I love it. Yeah, me too. It's a beautiful city. It's nice because it's not too big, but it has everything a big city kind of.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it is a big city. It has like 3 million or 2 million people, something like that.
Yeah, no, it is definitely. I think now since living in London.
Now it's like a tiny little town for you. And what brought you to London?
So I met my partner here. I met my partner here in 2018. I was here on holiday for a week because my friend used to live here and work here, and I visited her for a week. And then I met my partner on the second day of me being here for a week. And then, that was kind of the beginning of it all. And we fell in love, and then we had a long distance relationship, but it wasn't ideal, obviously. I mean, it wasn't that much of a distance, obviously, between England and Germany or Hamburg, but it's just not ideal, kind of, you know, if you're in a relationship and you just don't spend every day, kind of day-to-day life together. And then after a couple of months, I just decided that I'm going to move, and that was it.
Okay. Yeah. And then did you moved in with him?
Yeah. So he at the time lived with his parents. So in England, So we live. They are absolutely amazing. They are absolutely lovely. And it's, you know, looking back at it, I do really appreciate that they took me on, because they have obviously seen me. We've spent a couple of days together, but they, you know, didn't really know me. And then allowing someone else to move in with them that they, you know, not really met, that was a huge thing. But yeah, so we lived there for 2 months and then we got our own place. So for me, it was, I've lived on my own before that for like 5-6 years. And then going back to living with someone, you know, my partner, I mean, it was a crazy step, really, because I have obviously met my partner, we spend time together, but just in a, you know, over a week, like.
Right, you've never been together for such a long time, like together.
Yeah.
And then you moved in from like long distance relationship, but you only saw him a few times a month, to like 24/7.
Yeah, that was it. Exactly. Yeah. So it was a big step. Looking back at it, it feels like a big step. Back then, it didn't really feel like a big step. I don't know. I think so. What I decided to do back then was I'm going to just give it a go. I'm just going to try it out and I'm going to stay for 8 months. That's what I told myself so that I had, you know, a bit of a security blanket.
Sure. Why 8 months?
Because so I used to have a job, obviously, in Hamburg when I lived there. And we came to an agreement that I can take some long-term leave, basically, and that the restrictions were 8 months, and then I rented out my apartment to a friend, and it just, I think that was just kind of the time frame that yeah.
Okay, so you settled it out with work that you could work remote?
No, so I just took a break. So I was basically, it's like a, you know, I just took a break. I was still on the records basically of being an employee, but I just didn't work actively. And so they said, you know, it's okay, sort of 8 months is the time frame, and then, you know, we would just have to make a decision, like, do you want to come back, do you want to continue working for us, or if not, then we would, you know, find someone else. So that was the
that is nice of them.
It was really good. I was really grateful because it gave me the security that if it doesn't work out, I can literally just go back and I have my job, I have my apartment.
Probably that was also like mentally helpful, you know. You didn't have like all this pressure, at least, on you.
Yeah, definitely. It was like a soft launch of life abroad.
Okay, and then going back. So, I mean, in Germany, obviously, you learn English in school, but were you comfortable to speak it?
I was comfortable to speak it. So English was always one of my favorite subjects. So I always loved like speaking English, learning English, and it was one of my, I don't know the exact word for it in English, actually, but one of my like strength subjects. So the main, you know, subject. So I was really comfortable speaking English, but I did feel that, you know, when I actually moved here, obviously there are certain words that you don't necessarily learn in school. So I remember socket, like plug socket was one of the things. I had no idea what this is called. Like I just
plug
never...
socket. Oh, you mean like the... for the electricity?
Yeah.
Like, I think in American English is probably something else, because I never
heard
that.
Yes, so that's the other thing, right? So because we had American English in school, right?
You learned American English in school.
Yeah.
I learned British English in school.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Where are you from in Germany?
From close to Dortmund.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so that's interesting, yeah. Yeah, so we had American English, so... that was why when I came here, there were certain words I had no idea what they were. And then obviously there are some things, I'm sure that you might have experienced similar situations where there is a bit of like a slang or, you know, just words that are quite local. Or, you know, area specific. Again, no idea. So there were some differences and some kind of hiccups, despite having had English in school for years and years.
But you felt comfortable pretty fast.
I mean, I never shied away from, you know, asking or even saying the wrong word. So I never made it mean anything negative about myself, you know. I never felt like, oh, Sarah, you should know this, or, you know, that something's wrong with you because you don't know it. I'd felt quite comfortable. But I think also my partner has really accommodated that safe space for me to ask or to say wrong words, you know. So I never felt judged or
so that was really helpful. Nice. That's good.
So
how was it then settling into London? Did you immediately have to find work?
So I moved here on the 1st of Jan in 2019, which is another funny story, because we booked the first flight out of Germany. So my partner actually came over to help me move. And then we spent New Year's in Germany, and then obviously on the 1st of Jan we moved here, or flew here, and we took the first plane, and it was not a good idea after New Year's, like, goodbye party. I don't know what we thought,
but it was like 6 a.m. flight.
it was early, and we actually nearly missed it, but my mum picked us up, and luckily, she picked us up because she rang us and, you know, got us out of bed.
Your mom must have her nerves.
Yeah, I know. Bless her. Yeah, but that was good. And yeah, so I moved here then on the 1st of Jan. We stayed with my partner's parents for 2 months. And I think after a month, I did search for jobs immediately. And then I think after a month, I think, or month and a half, I think I found a job. And that was helpful, but it was also a big challenge to, you know, to learn how the English like job market works, and then how to write a CV, like a, you know, offer letter and all of the things. And I started really quite low key. So my background in Germany is to help people with disabilities, with mental health issues, so social work, without being a social worker. So it's basically empowering people to enable them to access their community or to live a really independent life. And that kind of job wasn't, or still isn't, necessarily available here. So there were some differences that I struggled to kind or find something similar here. So something similar here meant much less pay, like really bad, badly paid, and just not very good conditions. So that was a bit of a struggle to kind of find my feet in that.
So what did you find then eventually?
So what I did was started working for an agency because the entry was just really easy. So there was no, it was fairly easy. And I think it is because probably many people who move from abroad, I guess it's quite, that that might be a good point to start, like for an agency. So I used to work in a school for children with disabilities, and then like through an agency, and then I was employed by the actual school. So that was, I kind of started, I went from where I was in Germany, went down a bit for the agency, and then kind of worked myself up again here in England. But yeah, it was a journey. But yes, I worked in the school, and then I've worked for a local charity after 2 years. I think I changed to that job, and but all in the kind of social work sector.
No, I was wondering, like in some countries you are, for example, like in Germany, you kind of stuck in your field. You know, and I wasn't sure if you go to England, it's like a little bit more open, like you have a wider variety of jobs available. Or if you're also like stuck to that niche.
To be honest, I kind of made myself stuck to this niche because I didn't know how open England is. Like I feel like England is much more open and accessible to switch careers or to try out different things. So here, like in Germany, what I find, you need your qualifications, like you need your papers, you need to have studied something or have an apprenticeship, or you have to have a qualification in order to get a
very
job.
Strict kind of, right? And then you're very like strict. Stuck in this.
Whereas in England, like if you have connections or if you have some experiences that you can maybe transfer, or they look more at, in my experience, that might not be, you know, applicable to everyone, but I found that they look more towards you as a person and what you bring with your experiences and your past, and maybe, you know, if you have some connections, which makes it much more accessible, much easier to potentially try something different.
I think that is very similar here as well in the US versus in Germany. I feel like it would be like harder in Germany to find a job in whatever field. And here it's like, oh sure, I have a degree in XYZ, but I can try ABC as well.
I do think the same. I think Germany is quite narrow-minded in terms of the opportunities that you have and also the abilities to get different experience. I mean, and it's so interesting because before I moved here, I worked, but that was my first like proper job. I did my A-levels, and then I did a social year, and then I did an apprenticeship. So I always stressed myself out so much of like, I have to find something that I want to do for the rest of my life, because otherwise I'm stuck.
And that
was so much pressure.
It's like, how do you know like what am I gonna do for every day for the next 50 years?
Literally, it's impossible. It's impossible. So that's why it took me so long to make a decision, because I was like, I'm not gonna make this decision. I'm just gonna stay in school and do this and do that. And ultimately I made a decision. And
but like still it's hard, especially like at such a young age. You don't even know yourself, especially yourself as an adult. Like, you're a totally different person.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very tough, but yeah, it is nice to have or to be in an environment where you have more flexibility and more opportunities if you want to, for sure.
Yeah. Do you still live in the same apartment that you moved in with your boyfriend?
Yeah, no, we did. We lived there for 3 years and then we had to move out. We used to live sort of on the outer boroughs of London and now we just moved just outside of the official kind of edge of London. So we're like 5 minute drive and then we're in you know, the boroughs of London. But it is, London is a very expensive city and housing is very expensive. And so we, even where we used to live, it's classed as the best borough in London for like years and years. And I wish we wouldn't have had to stay there, but obviously my partner grew up, like he was born there, he grew up there, he always lived there, so for him it was his home, and so we kind of naturally just stayed there. But it was, I mean, London itself is expensive, but that borough specifically was very expensive as well. So we lived there, but it just got to a point where we had to make some changes because our landlord decided to do something with this house, and so we just decided to move out a little bit. So we live now just outside of London. It's still, London is huge, very busy. So for me, if I were to decide, then I would just move out more into the countryside. I'm more of a small, and it's funny because I am from a small city near Hamburg. And I always told my mum, I was like, I hate this. This is way too small. This is boring. Moved to Hamburg. Now live in London and I hate this now. I hate London. I hate the busyness.
Oh, you hate it. Oh.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I don't hate it, but I find it quite sensory, like overwhelming, like the busyness and the people and the noises. I'm quite happy. It's not been like that forever. I've really had to go out and be more in a bigger city and experience that. But now I feel like I'm in a stage in my life where I appreciate nature, I appreciate quietness, I appreciate having access to green spaces and to, you know, water and all of the things. So London is beautiful in the city, but if you go out a little bit into the like outer edges, it isn't pretty. It really isn't pretty.
Oh, no.
It's quite, so it depends where you are. Where we used to live was pretty, but there are some really ugly places. And so it's like, we never really go into the city center anyway. So for me,
I see. I could just move.
Yeah.
Oh, you could just move. And would you though stay in England or would you go back to Germany or?
Yeah, I would stay in England. I do definitely, I do like England. I think England is really nice, the people are really nice. I mean England is similar to Germany but more relaxed in several different ways, and there are definitely things that aren't going very well, and you know, government wise and everything, but generally I do feel really happy here, and I can imagine staying here. It's funny that you ask about Germany. I don't know if I would ever go back to Germany. I think the longer I'm not in Germany, the less I want to go back. How do you feel about it?
I also don't want to go back to Germany. I mean, at some points when I was here, I did wanted to go back to Germany. I don't know. I feel like I would rather go to a different country. I mean, and then also maybe because they're so unhappy, you know, they're like always kind of grumpy. I mean, like if you get to know the people better, then they're friendly, sure. But if you go to a store or if you go to any office, you don't get like greeted in a very welcoming way. It's always kind of, why are you here? What do you want from me? Kind of. And I mean, it's nice to see friends and family, but it's okay if I'm just there once a year.
I completely agree. I think the more like I said, the more I'm here now, and then when I do go back, I see all the differences that I've never seen before when living there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely agree. Some people can be very grumpy, and yeah.
And also, like, the longer time you spend away, you don't miss those certain things anymore. Because, like, either you find the product, a similar product that just works.
Yeah.
Or like, when you go back and try it again, then it's like, oh, I don't know what was the big deal about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. I think for me, there are certain things that I haven't been able, well, I do actually, I have been able to find them. There's a German shop not far from here, but I don't usually go there often. So there are certain like foods and things that I really look forward to when going back. And obviously, like you said, family and friends. But apart from that, I don't miss anything really in Germany. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think here in the US, it's also a little bit different. But like, you still have, for example, a great transportation system.
Yes. Yeah.
So like those things where I think like they are like way better in Europe anyway.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's a good mix because I am fairly close still when I get to, you know, experience it. Like, it's still Europe, like you said. So I think the differences aren't that huge, and I think that really helps. So it's not like a proper culture shock of I live in a completely different, you know, culture and environment. So that really helps, definitely. Yeah.
But was there anything that was hard for you to get used to?
For me to get used to, so the biggest thing that I struggled with was to make friends or connections, which was a big... So I moved in 2019, so we had the first year was quite exciting because it was the first year of living abroad and, you know, doing all of the things.
Yeah.
But then obviously 2020, the COVID hit, the pandemic hit, so that was not very helpful.
No.
And... apart from that, though, I think what I really struggled with was it was just crazy. Like, moving from... So I've never lived abroad before. I've always been a very content person, meaning, like, I'm just in my bubble. I have my closest people. I have my family. I have my job and everything. You know, that's me in my bubble. So I'm not... I haven't really looked out of that because I don't feel the need for it. And so then I was in a completely different environment. And then all of a sudden had to experience myself in a different way. So, and with that meaning, like, I was different than other people and I didn't know everything and I had to, you know, I had some language barriers. I had some knowledge gaps of how to get health insurance. I had no idea. So all of these things, like just being outside of your comfort zone and then experiencing yourself. And I really experienced myself in a way of being very critical to myself and having loads of negative thoughts about myself and about what was going on. And then obviously experienced loneliness because I didn't know anyone here. Then the pandemic hit. Obviously, I had my partner, but your partner can't fulfill all of the roles.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you want to see sometimes another person as well.
Yeah. So that was definitely the biggest thing for me. But in terms of getting used to, I think I am fairly able to adapt to things. So it wasn't, there weren't any like major things that I really struggled to adjust to or get used to. I think it was just, okay, that's the new normal now. So I just take that on and adjust to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you do like some super British things now?
I do love tea now, which I've never done before.
I do it too. And I mean, my tea with milk.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good though. I never realized what I was missing. But yeah, I do love that. The food here is very bland, but you just work with it and you just, you know, cook your own food.
So just add some salt.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Honestly, they never it's just so bland. Apart from curries, they're really good.
I guess like you are in London, so I would assume that you have like all the foods available and all like crazy good cuisines.
Yeah, I mean, I do probably. I mean, I love a good curry. A good curry is really good. But then it's, you know, fish and chips shops, which is just deep fried fish in the batter and some really plain chips with, like, you can put some sort of vinegar on it and it tastes like something. But it's just, it doesn't taste like anything, like, apart from the curries. And then obviously you have some, like, wings and pizzas and all of the things. You can definitely find some good restaurants, and I'm probably not the best person to talk about that because I just... I'm never, like, uptown and find all the fancy things.
Right.
But generally, like, the if you go out here, you go to a pub usually, and then the usual, like, pub food is just, that's what I'm kind of referring to.
Right, okay, I see. Uh-huh, I got it, yeah. Like mashed potatoes and bangers.
Yeah. And peas that have nothing on them.
Okay, I see. Like, it's all, like,
It's, I mean, it's good, I guess, in a way, not to eat too much salt. So I'm trying to think about that.
It's all healthy.
Good old deep fried fish.
Cholesterol.
Exactly.
Since you just mentioned, like, it was hard for you to find friends. So the way I found you on Instagram was because you do the friendships abroad. I don't know how to call it.
Coaching.
Yeah. Okay. Friendships abroad, coaching. So how did you come from that to, hey, I'm an expert in this now? So what was the transition?
Yeah. So for me, like I said, for me, the biggest thing was feeling lonely and feeling sorry about myself and sorry for myself of, like, I'm sitting here. So we had so many examples where obviously my partner grew up here, he had his own friends and sometimes he met them, and then I sat there and I felt sorry for myself because I was like, I don't have anyone here and this is horrible and I'm just sitting here on my own. And then I was miserable and I was angry with him and resentful towards him, and I had all of these things going on. And then at some point I just decided that I had to do something about it, and that, you know, we can't continue like this, and that I have to work towards making friends, and I can't just sit here and not do anything and feel sorry for myself. So that was the first and that biggest step to actually make a decision and to realize that it isn't something that, you know, there isn't someone just going to knock on your door and like, hi, I'm going to be your friend. But you actually have to decide to do something for it. And then the biggest thing that helped me was coaching. So there wasn't a friendship coach at the time. Obviously, I'm, as far as I know, the only one who's offering this specifically to expats who live abroad. But I, as I said, have always been in this field, and I'm very educated on psychology and all of the things, how our brain works and how we can empower ourselves and take action and all of these things, and then have learned coaching and coaching techniques and coaching tools and all about coaching and how it works. And then I've just combined those two and really worked on myself and really worked on how I'm feeling and what action I'm taking and what I can do to get myself out of it. Because, like I said, there's no upside to sitting around and not doing anything, but you actually have to take action. So
you also had a coach in the beginning? Or did I misunderstand?
No. So in the beginning, I didn't have a coach. So I learned all the kind of material around it and basically coached myself because there wasn't anyone available. I was very new to coaching as well. So I didn't. There was loads of business coaches. There are loads of, I don't know, fitness coaches. But there wasn't anyone in the field that offered something that I felt would kind of touch on this subject. So it's obviously it's quite niche to help people to feel better within themselves and to be comfortable meeting people and actually creating some meaningful connections, which is what I'm offering now. So there wasn't anything available at the time, unfortunately.
So then you decided to make this your field?
So I've learned everything that I felt I needed to learn and help me to take action. And then I, you know, went about to meet some people, and I was intentionally building more meaningful connections. So obviously I had my job, I did have some hobbies, but I never really utilized them to build connections on a deeper level. Like mm-hmm. I just went to work, I did my work, and then I went back home. So I've learned the coaching techniques to get me into action and to help me to feel better within myself. Because the thing is, with connections and with making friends, what we often don't realize is that we have to work so much on ourselves first before we are able to make meaningful connections and healthy connections, right? Because where I was at was I had doubts about myself. I didn't feel comfortable and confident within myself. And so then the way I showed up when I did meet someone was not confident, not comfortable, very attached to, are they going to like me? Like, oh, maybe I say something wrong. Right. And that isn't helpful. So I had to do this work first before I was actually able to make any connections.
Okay.
And yeah. Through doing it myself and through helping by now, like quite a few people to be able to do that, I've just become very knowledgeable within the field of making connections and actually going beyond the acquaintances stage and the superficial stage. But also the part where you work on yourself and you actually work towards feeling more comfortable within yourself. Yeah.
Okay. And then how long did it take you to make friends then after you finished that coaching?
It's been a work in progress because so how long does it take me? I would say it probably took me about a year and a half to go through the whole stage from like scratch, because obviously I decided, and then I was like, okay, so how am I going to go about this? And so I had to do lots of research and apply this, and then I failed a bunch of times and I tried again. You know, that's all part of the
process. Do you remember where you tried in the beginning to make friends?
So I used what I had access to. So I used my workplace and my colleagues. I went to a yoga class regularly, so I used that to connect with people. And I used a lot of, because obviously it was COVID as well, in and out of lockdowns. And so there were some like apps that I've used. So there's Bumble BFF, which I think is available hopefully in the US as well. I'm pretty sure it is.
I know Bumble, but it's for dating. It's not for making friends. But maybe there is a Bumble BFF. I'm just not I have never heard of it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's available there. So it's like Bumble, but it's specifically for friendships. So you know, it basically works the same. You know, you swipe right and left and connect with people. I think the bottom line is to make it as easy as possible, to make it as accessible as possible for yourself. Like if you decide I want to make some new friends, and then you go about joining loads of events, and you know that isn't something you naturally do, you know, it's not very helpful.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I'm like an introverted person, but I still want friends, but
yeah,
I'm not going to a big event and say like, hey, here I am. You know?
Yeah.
It is hard because like you have to go outside and like introduce yourself, because like nobody knows you. It's like nobody knows you exist, right?
So yeah,
I'm sure like a lot of people, when they know you're there, they want to be your friend.
Yeah, it is hard to get out of your comfort zone and to go to events or to do something that requires for you to be in front of people, because it goes against what our brain is programmed to do, which is to protect you and to keep you safe and to use the least amount of energy. Because if you go out there, you obviously potentially going to be rejected by certain people, you know, you're not going to always meet, like not everyone you meet is going to be your friend, or it's not going to work out with everyone.
Exactly.
So it's part of the game, but for our brain that is like, well, we don't want to be rejected because that might mean potential death. Obviously it doesn't, but our brain's like, this is dangerous, we shouldn't do this. So then we sometimes choose to stay on the couch and watch Netflix instead
It's going out just to get entertained somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so now you have a bunch of friends?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I've been able to form, like, some of them moved away again, and some of them, you know, things have changed, but I have my close friends now here, mm-hmm. and I have my close friends in Germany. And what I learned throughout this experience of, like, making friends and building connections is that, so when we feel lonely, you know, that person that has, like, loads of friends and they still feel lonely, and we have someone who has a bunch of friends and they don't feel lonely at all. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how many people you actually have in your network or how many people you have around you, like, how you feel towards them, whether it's lonely or whether you feel connected and satisfied, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't depend on your circumstances. It depends on how you feel towards them.
That's true.
And so for me, what I have focused on a lot within this journey is to actually just feel how I want to feel towards whatever circumstances I'm in. So whether I have 2 friends or 10 friends, I want to feel connected, and I want to feel satisfied, and I want to feel loved and appreciated and just good within that. And that is, again, something that I've been able to do, which I'm very grateful for, because, you know, some friendships change. I don't make that mean anything about myself, and I don't, you know, make it mean anything about them either. So it's just something that is part of connections and friendships, that things change or people change, I change. But all that to say, like, yes, I do have an amazing group of people here now that I feel very connected to. And it's just been so interesting to go through this journey and to meet lots of people and to make connections and learn lots of things about myself as well.
Mm-hmm. And would you say your friends are more people who moved there from somewhere else? Or do you also have friends that are from England or, like, even from London?
Yeah, so it's funny because I mainly have friends from England, from London. So I don't actually have many friends that moved here, which goes against a lot of what other people are saying of you know, struggling to make friends with locals and feeling so I never had any issues with that at all, but I never had the thought that it's hard to make friends with locals, because I just never, it never even occurred to me that there's a difference until I heard other people talking about it and sharing their experiences.
Because for me it's easier to click with somebody who is from somewhere else than the locals. I feel a lot of times that they ask me different questions, or they don't know how to approach me because I mean, obviously no, but if they hear me talking, I have an accent. So they know it right away. They, like, stop asking me questions, or they always just ask me shallow questions about, like, hey, where are you from? How long have you been here? Why did you come here? You know, it's always the same. So I'm like, and then after this, there's, like, silence. You know, they stop talking. It's like, okay. I mean, I have friends, it's okay, but I just feel like for people who live there for all their lives, it's, like, always harder, or, like, and not harder. Wait, hard is the wrong word, but it's like, I don't know, they just stop, kind of. And I mean, like, for me, it's the same way. It's like, hey, if you just stop now, I don't know what to ask you either, you know?
Yeah. It's a complicated thing, and it really depends. The thing is, what we can't control how the people show up, right? Like, I can't, you know, it's not a mind control to change or to influence. I mean, influence probably, but not change how someone, like, what questions someone asks me or what they say or what they don't say. But what I always focus on is that what is in my control. And if I you know, if I feel uncomfortable in the situation already, it's going to be very apparent, right, to the other person. And so you both you both feel really uncomfortable, and then they go through their set of questions and you have your set of answers, and then it's just
exactly.
awkward.
It's like, okay, finish now, bye. Can I go now?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
true. Like, yeah, there's so much awkwardness in like an adult making friends.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Like, it literally, there is some awkwardness because it's us putting ourselves out there and, you know, being vulnerable. Like, when we make friends, when we connect with people, we are vulnerable, and that's not very comfortable sometimes, right? So it's normal. There will always be some awkwardness, but it's what we want to do with it. And, you know, when we have these situations where, oh, you know, local people always ask me the same questions, then it really depends how you think about it and what you want to do with it. Maybe some, you know, maybe you can prepare some other questions that you then go on and ask the other person. Uh-huh. Or, you know, it's really just preparing yourself for it. There's a saying, you know, making friends with adults is really hard and it's difficult, and there is some truth to it. But if you know how to navigate it, it is very simple. Like, it is very simple. It's not easy, but it's very simple.
Mm-hmm. So do you always have like some whatever talking points in the back of your head?
I mean, I don't really anymore. Like, I used to actually think about what can I ask the other person. So if I went on, you know, if I used Bumble, BFF, and then I met someone and we arranged to meet up, I did actually prepare what can I talk to this person about, like, what can I ask her, what can I share about me that might lead into this, just to feel prepared and not to be like this, have this awkward silence. Like, I was, you know, preparing certain things to talk about so that I can think, okay, if she doesn't say anything, I have like 5 things to talk about.
Okay.
And another thing that is really helpful is to just ask, like, by asking questions, you don't have to speak that much, right?
So exactly,
if you ask loads of questions, then you can relax, and then whatever they say, you can just refer back to that. And, you know, there's a whole kind of way of learning how to communicate, or learning how to ask questions, or learning how to navigate these conversations, especially like small talk conversations and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have friends now, because like, you probably were super depressed and like needed to get out of that hole.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a difficult time, and I'm glad too. Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, I even at that time considered, actually, I moved back to Germany. Is this just not working out? So it has a huge impact.
Yeah. You need friends, like, not just work and partner, but you also need like other faces to talk to. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
And do you do this now full time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I do this full time now. I've been doing it for 1.5, about 2 years now. And I've, stepped into doing it full time. And yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's so interesting to meet so many people all over the world, you know, live in different countries, who are from different countries. And it's so interesting to see how similar the issues are, like, despite having different backgrounds, living in different countries, that people do really struggle with the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very interesting.
So do you work online, I assume? And and you work with all kinds of schedules, and you work with all kinds of time zones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is good. I mean, it worked so far. It is always a bit of a, you know, calculation game of like, they're in this time zone and I'm here. But yeah, it's worked so far, so fingers crossed. But it's nice actually, because it gives you a bit of a variety of like throughout the day. So sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's in the evening, or it's not like a normal 9 to 5
totally, like, you need to make room for time zones.
It's interesting.
So you kind of already said this, but would you and your partner ever move to Germany? Maybe.
I don't know.
Or was it ever like a question in the beginning, hey, don't you want to move to Hamburg?
Yeah, so before I moved here, for me, I just made the decision myself to come here, and obviously, you know, agreed with my partner that this is probably the best decision, because there are two main reasons that I decided to do this, and that is probably going to prevent us from ever moving to Germany, which is, one, he doesn't really speak English, German. He doesn't really speak German. Which isn't necessarily the biggest problem, you know, in a city like Hamburg, he would probably be able to communicate in English, and he would probably learn German as well living there. But it just, on a professional level, like, it is probably not the easiest. And the second thing was that his career and professional background, at least when we met, was not really applicable to kind of what we discussed in the beginning, like with the German market. Like, he's had experiences and loads of jobs, but he hasn't had like a university degree, and he can prove of this, you know. So it would have been really difficult for him to find work there. Yeah,
so it hasn't changed then, I guess. So that answers the question.
I mean, the thing is, I don't feel any urge to move there. And I think it would, like, his career and that has changed. But again, even with the changes, I think it would still be difficult for him to kind of, you know, adapt there. And I don't actually, I don't think I want to do it. And I think it would be hard for him. So I think we're just going to stay here.
Yeah. What do people always assume, like, the Germans are like?
I don't really hear many assumptions. Like, when I do tell people that I am from Germany, then it's more sort of curiosity and interest, and, like you said, you know, oh, where, and then they tell me about their stories, where they've been in Germany, and it's mostly Cologne or Berlin or Frankfurt for work, and then so it's not really, I don't really hear many people, like, sharing their assumptions. So it's more that they share their experiences, or they just ask me questions out of curiosity. You know, I know this, or I've been there, or just to find some, like, connection points. But yeah, I've never really had anyone. What do they say to you?
I mean, they usually just say, like, oh, I thought the Germans are very strict, you know, because I'm always, like, have a big smile on my face when I see people. So, and they always assume, like, the Germans are the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm very small, you know, so, and then they're like, oh, I thought the Germans are always very tall. So, it's more like that.
I think, again, it's probably very different between, like, the US and probably the UK. I think the UK has much more of an idea of, maybe, you know, what Germans are like, or Germany. I think the US, maybe because of the distance, many people I speak to actually have been to Germany as well. So it's probably 9 out of 10 people.
It's a 1 hour flight.
So there are no kind of awkward, like, oh, I think, you know, so it's actually quite pleasant conversations with people most of the time.
And then also, like, how Germans are presented in on TV sometimes. I mean, it depends on what kind of TV, but usually it's, like, always, like, the Bavarian style, you know, mit Lederhosen und Bierstein. I don't know. It's like, but I'm not from that region.
Yeah.
I'm not like them at all. I don't even understand them, so.
Exactly. Yeah, there are many jokes that are being made about Germans. Yeah, around me as well, which is funny because I don't care. Like, I don't have any, I generally don't care. Right. So it's quite funny. Sometimes I do laugh about them as well, because it is true. So, like, the Bavarian style, or, you know, whatever, Oktoberfest and things like that.
I mean, Oktoberfest is, like, one thing everybody tells me, and I'm like, sorry, I cannot say anything about it. I've never been there. It's It was not a big thing in my region when I lived there, so. Since you moved there just before Brexit, did you have to, like, get any paperwork done?
No, so I was really lucky, because I just moved before Brexit. So all I had to do was just the normal. So you can apply for a pre-settled status and a settled status, which I think you can still do now, even after Brexit, if it's from like the EU countries. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, it was very easy. That is another thing that's really good in England. There's a gov.uk website and it has everything on there. And it's very simply described and you know exactly what to do. And it's very easy. So I just had to do this. And yeah, it just was very, very easy. But I think it has changed a lot now since Brexit. Like, I guess depending which countries you're moving from. But yeah, it was good.
So was it just like you had to fill out one paper and send it out? Or was it like a bunch of paperwork?
No, I think it was... You know what? I can't even remember, okay. But I think it was pretty simple. It was just online, like filling some things out. I think I had to prove my identity. And then you have like a national insurance number here, which gives you like health insurance and tax and everything. And I guess you just had to provide that. So it was very simple, straightforward.
Okay.
Because
I thought like now, since everything's changed with Brexit, like you would need to get like a complicated visa or something.
I think it probably might have changed since. Yeah. So for me then, it was just moving here. I applied for the national insurance number. I got the pre-settled status and then that was it. And I think to get that, like, I do remember, I think it was just proving my identity with my passport and then probably providing some like proof of address, kind of, you know, proof of, I don't know, bank statements or utility bills or something like that, so that they know that you... are legit, basically. But I do remember it was much simpler than probably any process would have been in Germany.
Yeah probably. Sure.
But I think it's probably changed now.
Do you feel like any changes since Brexit?
I can't tell that I personally, to be honest, like I, you know, what I mentioned in the beginning or like earlier on, I'm very much in my own bubble, meaning I actually actively ignore any news. That's a life decision. Like
that
literally,
is good.
I can't.
It makes you happier. Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't. Actually, when the Ukraine-Russia war started, I was like, and I'm a researcher, I'm a learner, I want to know like every detail. So when this happened, I just researched like hours and hours of like what's going to happen and all the news and what are people saying. And I just felt... I basically just thought the world's going to end tomorrow. Where's the point? And everything's pointless. And where, you know, why should I even do this? So I just made a decision. Me and my partner, actually, we just don't. I hear whatever happens every now and again, but I don't actually actively look. So in terms of Brexit, I am very much my own bubble with my business, with my dog, with my fiance, with my friends, and that's it. And because of that, I don't really, it hasn't applied to me in any way, I don't think.
Yeah, okay.
There are probably loads of changes, but I haven't noticed any as such, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, then we're coming to an end now, officially.
Yay!
It was really nice to talk to you, to meet you.
Thank you, TT, yeah. Okay. It was lovely to meet you.
Yeah, that was Sarah's story, everyone. If you want to reach out to her, she is on Instagram at friendships.abroad. And there you can even book a free consultation. I have it also here in the show notes, if that is easier for you. And as always, if you like this podcast, then please give it a 5-star rating in your podcast app. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me at worldscollide123pod@gmail.com. Maybe you want to tell me your story if you moved abroad or if you just want to make a comment, that is fine. You can also find me on Instagram, worldscollidepod, or Threads, and TikTok. So yeah, I would love to hear from you. And thank you for the music, Serge Corundo. And yeah, I hear you next week with a new episode. Until then, bye.